Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to AfterBuzz TV's Spotlight On series, where we interview Hollywood's hottest actors, producers, directors, and showrunners. Today, I have the amazingly talented Melissa Carcace to talk all about her new web series, Hialeah. So don't move a muscle.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here with the amazingly talented Melissa Carcace. Melissa, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me again. I'm so excited to be here.
Of course.
I love this Hialeah.
Yes, absolutely. This is per your request.
Yes, the Cuban sass.
Yes. Guys, as I mentioned at the top, this is AfterBuzz TV Spotlight On series, where we feature some of Hollywood's hottest actors, directors, producers, and musicians. And today we have the amazingly talented Melissa Carcace. Melissa, where can the people find you online if they want to connect with you?
They can find me anywhere on social media at Melly Carcace. That is my username for everything.
Perfect. And guys, my name is Jeff Graham. If you want to find me online, you can do so at Jeffrey C. Graham. As I mentioned, we're here to talk to Melissa primarily about her brand new web series, Hialeah, which I got to check out a little bit. And I'm really, really excited about it.
Okay.
Melissa, if you had to give us like the 30-second pitch as to what Hialeah is, what would you say?
Ooh, you put me on the spot there.
Yeah.
So Hialeah is about a married couple that meet in Chicago and move into his wife's crazy loud Cuban family's house in the city of Hialeah.
That was perfect. I love that. It kind of feels like it has some of the same beats as our like a lot of great ABC sitcoms right now, like Fresh Off the Boat, or which I love those shows. I think ABC setting the bar really high for family comedy. And it sounds like this is your answer to that, kind of the Cuban answer to that, set in Hialeah.
Yeah, I feel like right now there's really nothing for like Latino families. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, we have shows like Jane the Virgin that are on, but we don't have enough. I think we only have like maybe one or two shows on the air right now. So I really wanted to make something to not only tell my story, you know, what it is to be brought up in a Cuban family, but the story of just a Latin family in general, which people, I'm sure, would be surprised to find out that we're like everybody else.
That's the best way to put it. I think the best family comedies can give you an intro and a, you know, a vision of what another world looks like, but ultimately show you that kind of at the end of the day, we're all people, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I can't wait to watch it. Just so, I know we're going to get to it at the end, but when is it officially dropping? I can't wait to watch it.
November 11th.
November 11th. Yes. Keep that date in mind, guys. It's soon, and we're going to promote a bunch at the end.
Okay.
But November 11th is when it's dropping. So you grew up in Hialeah,
yes.
Is that correct? Okay,
yes.
Cool. So I would love to hear about the genesis of the actual project. Mm-hmm. How did this all come about?
Okay, so I grew up watching a show called Que Pase USA. That show came out in the 70s and 80s.
What's up? Is that what Que Pase
is? Yes. What's up, USA? There you go. You got it.
I'm doing all right.
Yes. And I grew up watching, you know, just reruns in my house with my parents and my family. And I really wanted to sort of bring that element back to TV because although that was a much different story than ours, theirs was moving from Cuba to Miami. And this is totally different. This is told from like the immigrant's child perspective of like first generation American. But I didn't know what kind of story I wanted to tell. So luckily, one of my great friends, David Vargas, who's also a co-creator and director of the series, I ran into him on a flight from LA to Miami. And something inside of me was telling me, you got to call David. So I called him. We sat in Starbucks. I said, hey, I want to do this online web series. And he said, funny enough, me and my partner, Javier Mayol, who's a writer and co-creator of the show, want to make a show like this too. And I said, we need to make the show then. And that's how it was born. We collaborated on that. And here it is.
That's so impressive. And it's impressive for you especially because obviously you've been a working actress for a long time. You had a big role on the Nickelodeon multicam show Every Which Way, which I know has a voracious following. But am I right in saying this is kind of your first time really wearing a producing hat?
Yes and no. Okay, the first time I ever wore it was in 2010. I did a reality show based off of my family. So
a lot
of people don't know this. That's when I opened up my production company and the first show I created was that.
Amazing.
But that one was a little hard because I was like brand new to sort of the producing world. Mm-hmm. And I let sort of the crew kind of handle more than what I did on this show. Mm-hmm. Like on this show, we were a very small crew. And me and my co-creators were just sort of like kind of wearing many, many hats.
Yeah.
So in this one, I definitely worked a lot more and had to do a lot more things. So this one was tougher to do, to create, for sure.
I'm sure. Exhausting, I'm sure.
Very.
Yeah.
But I secretly really like that.
Of course. I mean, it's so great to have ownership in the work that you're creating. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I've been lucky to produce a couple web series myself. And what's nice is, at the end of the day, you can really feel like the thing you're making is what you wanted to make.
100%.
Which is so gratifying, I think, from an acting perspective, I'm sure, but also a producing perspective.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we had creative control over the entire story and the process. And, like, that's so freeing because you don't, you know, I feel like some people, you get worried. You're like, well, are they telling the story that we envision? Because that's so crucial to what we're trying to do. We want to make sure that we make authentic content. That's
of course.
Super big. That's what me and my company are trying to produce, is just 100% authentic content.
I love
you
that.
Know? So once you pass it on to someone else, like passing your child over, and you hope that they raise it the way you want them to. And it's like, it doesn't really work out that way. So we're very lucky that we were able to do this together for sure.
Well, and there's nothing worse than watching a show that claims to be a representative show.
Right.
And you can tell it was made by 2 60-year-old white guys in an office. So yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm sure the people of Hialeah and the Cuban community in Miami will be so gratified by the fact that it's coming from a native.
Oh yeah, 100%. I mean, I've auditioned for roles where they are like, it's Cuban, and I'm like, that ain't Cuban. When I read the script, you know.
Yeah.
And I think that's why the city itself has supported us so greatly, because we're, you know, we're telling the best story we can off of the people who made the city so great.
So you guys shot on location in Hialeah. That is so cool.
Yeah.
It's also so cool to be shooting on location, because not everyone gets the chance to do that. What's it been like? You said the city's been supportive. I'd love to hear about some of the stories, maybe, with this, how the city's been involved in production.
Well, it's crazy. We actually shot the show at my dad's uncle's house because I needed a house that was 100% authentic Hialeah Cuban. And he was able to provide that. The house, though, I have to tell you, was so pristine. Not a scratch anywhere. Not in the table, the floor, nothing. And so I told the whole crew, I said, we need to be so careful. Like, everything has to be perfect. And I think my dad's uncle thought we were coming in with an iPhone and, like, a little flashlight. He did not expect this entire crew of people to bombard his home.
Yeah.
But the city was so great. Like, just supporting us, raising awareness off of the show. They're throwing us this huge premiere in Miami, which we sold out in 48 hours, 1,000. And tickets.
Wow.
Yes. So we're holding the premiere in the
actual city.
That's
not small potatoes. I mean,
I know.
A lot of major movies can't generate a premiere that big.
Honestly,
that's amazing.
It was so crazy because when they launched the site to get the tickets, you know, I had asked Vanessa, who works at Mylander Park, which is where our premiere is. I said, well, you know, what number are we at? She's like, we're about to sell out. And I'm like, what are you talking about? It's only been 24 hours. 48 hours, it was gone.
Oh my gosh. Doesn't that speak to what we were just saying, though, of people want to see themselves on screen? People 100%. Want to see a true representation of the community on screen.
100%. And it also, it also proves how strong the internet is and how you don't have to wait to get picked up by a network to create your own stories and your own shows.
Yeah.
It just shows that if you get the right people and work really hard, you can actually make something pretty great that people want to watch.
Yeah. The web series as a medium is very powerful. I'm sure you can feel it, but I think in the last 10 years, the structure of Hollywood has just completely changed.
100%.
And I think you're really smart to be jumping on the train of how it is changing, and you're proving that it's successful because you sold out a 1,000-person premiere. What do you feel like the web series kind of means in terms of modern-day Hollywood?
That's Hollywood now.
Yeah.
You know, web series is the new Hollywood. Mm-hmm. It's here to stay. I don't know in the next 10 years what the next thing will be, and we will all have to sort of adjust to whatever that is. But as of right now, I mean, I think that the networks need to be freaking out a little bit, because I think we're making a very big disruption within the online community. So
absolutely. I mean, what's crazy to think about is, like, Netflix shows are considered web series. You know what I mean? It's the same, maybe the budget's a little higher, but it's still released in the same format as any web series. And when you look at cancellation percentages, the fact that networks are canceling 70% of the shows that drop on their networks, and the fact that Netflix has canceled 3 of the 100 new shows that they've released in the last year.
Exactly. Well, I mean, it goes into sort of the supply and demand thing of it, you know? And I think these advertisers are just paying so much money to put it on a network TV, you know, and if they're not getting the viewerships, they're going to have to get canceled, because how are they going to fund these shows?
Absolutely. I was having a conversation about this on a show that I host and produce here at the network, where we review pilots. And we were reviewing a network pilot recently, and it just kind of had the feeling of the executives tried to make the show for everyone.
Okay.
But the problem is, when you sort of try to make a show for everyone, you're kind of making a show for no one.
100%.
Whereas when you make a show and kind of really try to dig into the authenticity of a community, you're making a show that people actually want to see. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you caught the show Atlanta this year, Donald Glover's show.
I haven't yet, but I've heard such great things about it's really it, and good. I need to get on that.
It's fine. You've got plenty of time because the new season isn't even dropping till next year.
Oh, good. So I have time to catch up. Okay,
Donald
good.
Glover's kind of busy. I don't know if you knew that.
Yeah, I didn't know that. he's a genius.
Yeah, it's definitely a big role model for me. But he's an example of someone who kind of created this weird specific show, but in doing that everyone wanted to see it because mm-hmm. it was true. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that sounds like it was a huge goal for you in creating Hialeah.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, it just goes back to what we were talking about earlier. Mm-hmm. Like, authenticity is everything. Yeah. And I think that especially our generation spots that, like, right on. If you're not authentic, if you're being totally fake or trying to, like, do something that's not authentic to who you are, the story you're trying to tell, we're out.
Absolutely.
We need to just be super invested into what you're trying to mm-hmm. say within your stories. Yeah.
Very well crucial. Said. So I want to hear more about your uncle. This is hilarious to me that he's picturing this little iPhone and you guys come in. Because the film set, for those of you guys who haven't seen it, it's a mm-hmm. lot of big pieces of equipment that are involved. But I would have to think he was probably kind of excited when all of a sudden all this equipment was coming in. What's it been like for sort of like your family to be involved with this big Hollywood production?
I think they're really like excited about it. Yeah, he totally freaked out. I mean, also, too, he didn't expect we're going to be there for like 10 hours. You know what I mean?
Long days.
Yeah, he's like, when are you leaving? When are you done? I'm like, I promise I'm almost done. I'm like, we need to wrap this up. Yeah. He's got to go to sleep.
Absolutely.
You know? But, you know, it's great. Even like the neighbors, too. Like, hey, what are you guys shooting there? What's going on? And it's just cool to sort of, you know, raise awareness within the community, too, that we're making great things about the city, giving people, local people, opportunities. You know, my ultimate dream is to have my own studio in Miami.
Cool.
I've always wanted to create a place where not just locals, but anybody can come and create content and sort of like, you know, use their voice and tell their own stories.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of that back home. There just isn't. So I'm really excited to be opening up those doors for others.
Of course.
I'm excited about that.
How cool is that? How is the show airing? Like, how is it being released? And sort of what's the episode format? I'm curious about all of this.
So it's short form. Cool. So it's about, I would say, 9 to 12 minutes long.
Love it.
We shot 6 episodes. I wanted 8, but David was fighting me. He's like, we can't do it. We don't have enough time. It has to be 6. I'm like, okay, fine, 6.
Yeah.
So we did 6. And we're going to release them all at once. So sort of Netflix style. That's how I like to watch TV. So I thought, hey, other people like to too.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's just going to be all in one shot.
Everyone wants to binge. And like, yeah. I think it would have just killed us to only watch the first one, especially knowing that you've already got the other ones in the can. So I'm glad you're releasing all of them and I can't wait to watch them. It's almost probably like an episodic movie in a sense. If you have 6 10-minute episodes.
Yeah. Just
very
like
cool.
That.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Amazing. Well, I cannot wait to watch it. It's interesting. You as an actress, most of your work had been on multicam. I mean, you've had a diverse career, but I think your biggest role to date would, of course, be Every Which Way. Mm-hmm. What were some of the differences that you found of sort of the multicam environment versus the sort of single cam environment that you guys shot?
It's definitely the over-the-topness. I mean, especially for Nickelodeon, you have to be a little bit more extra than you would in a single cam. And also, too, like, you know, Hialeah show is very realistic and very real life. So, you know, everything has to be very natural and, you know, in terms of like the acting and stuff like that. But yeah, and you don't have that much. Well, also to our show, obviously it's a web series. So you don't have this giant hundreds of people on set type of situation. You know, on a multicam, you have like so many people and yeah, it's just a difference in that way, I guess.
Longer days.
Over the top, longer days.
Yeah.
Well, no, on Hialeah, we had long days, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, we were shooting 10, 12-hour days.
Well, yeah, because typically the single cam days are actually the longer ones, because a multicam, you kind of just roll through scene to scene, right?
Yeah. And plus, you know, we wanted to be fair to our cast and crew if they had anything to go to. So, like, some people couldn't show up, you know, on the scenes that we had the whole family, and then we had to work that out. So it was,
yeah.
It was complicated.
What were some of your favorite, like, moments or stories on set from Hialeah specifically?
Well, I don't say this was my favorite, but I will say it was a challenge. David's going to kill me when I tell you the story. So in episode 5, we shot in a real quinceañera practice.
Cool.
Okay. So Diana Kea, who's the daughter of the owners of Vicky Bakery, I know them very well, family friends, and I knew she was having her 15s practice. I said, great, we'll be able to actually shoot, you know, this scene that we're trying to do in a real 15s practice. Fantastic. So that day, David Vargas, our director, got food poisoning.
Oh,
like,
no.
Literally, like, an hour or two after we started filming, he got super sick. We had, like, 30-something kids, plus their parents, plus the owner of the dance studio that they had rented out to, like, shoot this. I mean, to practice it for us to shoot. We had no time for him to get sick. So we were like, shoot, and he would run outside. and then come back and shoot again, run outside. I mean, it was just, it was insane. And then the kids too were like, parents were like, they need to go to school tomorrow. Like, it was super challenging. So it's not my favorite story, but it's definitely the most interesting Absolutely. Of the project.
Well, and it speaks to the true nature of production. Yeah. I don't know if you knew this, but our CEO, Maria Menounos, mm-hmm. her fiance, Kevin, will tell a story about how when she was in her really early days at Access Hollywood, she got incredibly sick, maybe week three of the job, but she yeah. still, you know, you still go to work to it. And it's production and it calls for it. And,
yep.
you know, I think showing up on that day impressed the producing team so much. And of course, she's one of the most talented.
Oh, yeah. She's great.
Yeah. But those moments are sort of what show how committed you have to be to production, because 100%. You have one day to shoot and you've got to do it. And
well, the show must go on.
The show
must
go on.
They don't say that for just anything.
Exactly. Did the scene turn out okay?
It turned out great.
Nice.
Yeah. And we have some really horrible B-roll of him too that we love to make fun of. We're like, oh, there you are.
I love it. Well, sometimes I think those added pressures can actually enhance what you're doing.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean? The hurdles sometimes end up forcing you to think out of the box and create something different and often better than you would have.
Oh, yeah.
I think.
And well, also too, I think it showed us to the teamwork of our cast and crew, mm-hmm. and how although we lost, you know, our leader at the, you know, for a little bit of time, we were able to sort of like regroup, and it's like, okay, what are we going to do next? What are we missing? Let's get that shot, bring them in and do it. So
Absolutely.
We really worked very well as a team under crisis.
So are you guys all done with post? Is everything finished?
Almost.
Or? Okay. I was
almost.
Say,
I yeah. think, well, David's editing it. And so I think he's in episode 4 or 5
nice.
Right now. Yeah. So he's almost done. He's like, he's just dived into this. So
oh, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's exciting, and I cannot wait to watch
yes,
it.
Yes, I'm excited.
You said that's November 11th,
yes.
right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So the other thing I'd love to talk with you about today is, of course, your blog and your podcast.
Yes.
Obviously, this is a vodcast, but there's an audio and video component. So just so you guys know, if you're listening on the podcast only, we do tape a video component as well that you can check out on our YouTube channel. I'm going to shamelessly
cool.
self-promote right now.
I didn't know you had a name, Vodcast?
Vodcast,
oh,
yes.
That's really, well, then I guess I could call mine a vodcast too.
Amazing. Well, let's hear about
cool.
it. What is it?
So my vodcast, now
there
that I
is.
Have a name for it, basically I talk to my friends in the entertainment business that are not just actors, directors, and writers, but are different types of producers or makeup or costume or even YouTubers, like non-traditional sort of like areas of expertise that kids and young adults may not know about.
Cool.
So the goal is to sort of open up that world to them and see if they have interest. You know, as a kid, I didn't know there were so many parts and pieces to make a TV show or film. So I want to be able to showcase that to them, to the world. And then we film in the actual location of where they work so that they can actually see what the job looks like.
Okay, that is such a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, because like growing up, you look at the credits and be like, Key Grip.
Yeah, you don't know what that is.
Best Boy?
Yeah.
You're like, what are all these things? So
exactly.
Man, I would have loved a resource to figure out what the meat and bones of Hollywood are actually doing.
Me too. I didn't even know what a producer was.
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
Until, I don't know, I was a little older and I was starting to do commercials, but
right.
yeah, I had no idea.
Like, oh, this is a big operation.
I just thought everything surrounded around the actor. Then I found out it's not about the actors, almost like in the bottom of
yeah.
the until
they're an essential part, but kind of in yeah. the big scheme of things, a small part, right?
Very
it's
small.
It's like everyone is bringing 5%.
Yep.
And when all of those 5% come together, that's how you make a movie.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was Elizabeth Banks was talking about Pitch Perfect, mm-hmm. and you know she's a big piece of those movies and directed the second one, but she was saying every single successful production is a miracle because
oh, yeah.
so much goes into it.
So much. I don't think people realize just sort of that, and also the obstacles, you know, even like somebody getting sick or
yeah.
anything like that really holds back production, budget. I mean, so many things. It's like a domino effect.
Yes.
So you really have to make sure that everything is executed properly.
Amazing. Well, what's that vodcast called and how do we watch it?
So the vodcast, in a very bizarre way, is just Melissa Kirkache. You know, I haven't even picked a name for it yet.
Okay.
I just started it about a month ago, and it's on Anchor.
Great.
So they just search my name, Melissa Kirkache. It's there. My first guest is Ivan Kawan, who's a good friend of mine at ESPN, and he produces some of the SportsCenter segments and stuff like that. And we actually got to shoot in ESPN, which was really neat.
Nice.
Yeah.
Anchor, they've been good to us. So they're
love Anchor.
That's awesome. Yeah,
yeah.
That's great. And you also have your blog and your YouTube channel as well, which I'd love to hear
yeah.
about.
So my YouTube channel is also my name, Melissa Kirkache. Basically, I'm just documenting the entire journey of what it is to be a woman in business, mm-hmm. how I'm building my production company, how do I make Hialeah, what's my next series going to be, because I'm currently developing another scripted series, and sort of just that whole entire journey.
Amazing.
So it's extremely raw and vulnerable because it's not the glamorous side right, of when you actually succeed and have this big company and you have hundreds of employees, like it's literally just me in my little office in Miami. And so it's just documenting that whole journey. So it's for anybody out there that is afraid of starting something. I hope that this gives them sort of like the go ahead to be like, you don't need all of this to start. Yeah. Just start where you are and build your way up.
Well, I love that it's honest and it's a vulnerable portrayal, because we had an interview the other day and the guest was saying, if I were to look at my social media, I'd be jealous of what I'm doing. Like, it's a very inaccurate portrayal of what my life is actually like. And we all do that, right? We all create these versions of ourselves that are so much, quote unquote, more successful than we actually feel.
Right.
So I love it. Sounds like your YouTube channel is a really honest portrayal of what it's like.
It was hard. It took me a little over a year to actually launch, because I was afraid of the judgment and of being, you know, putting myself out there and very vulnerable. And I'm like, what are people going to think about me and all these things? But I said, you know what? I have to do this because it's not about me. It's about the people.
Amen.
You know what I mean? And I think that anybody who's in entertainment or has a platform, it's not about them. Mm-hmm. It never is, you know? And I think once that clicks in your brain, you're able to sort of just start.
This is the career of high highs and low lows, as I think, you know, it is a roller coaster, and that's why we do it.
Yes. For the thrill.
Amazing. So how do people check out? That's just, I'm sure, search Melissa Carcace in YouTube and they'll find it.
Yep. Or everything's under my name.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Well, one thing I like to do with my guests on our Spotlight On series is a speed round.
Ooh, I love
these. It's kind of a fun portion of the interview.
This is going to be so raw because you didn't let me look.
I know, exactly. So I'm excited. I told her, I was like, I do always pre-interview my guests, but with the speed round, I found it's most fun. Luckily, there's not going to be any like gotcha questions.
Oh, but that's always fun too.
I'll sneak a couple challenging ones in there. For now, though, I have to know, favorite movie that you've seen this year?
Oh, this year? Mm-hmm. That is so hard. Hidden Figures. I did watch for the first time the other night.
So good.
And it was good. Yeah. And Moonlight.
Oh, yeah. So definitely.
Those are my two. Yeah.
Amazing. What about your favorite? Well, we sort of already did this. I have favorite funny story from set, and you talked about Hailee. I don't know if you have any other funny moments that you can think of, maybe from Every Which Way or...
There's so many funny moments. It's hard to sort of pick one. I will say, though, kind of funny, in the Hialeah set, so we have a scene... where our character is trying, the K character is trying for the first time this Cuban dish that's called rabo encendido. And basically it's oxtail. And it's actually very delicious. But, you know, for someone who's never had it, it's a little bit. But he was really nervous. You know, Jordan Wall, who plays K, was very nervous to try. He ended up liking it. But what happened was is that when your whole like crew is Cuban, and a lot of people living in my uncle's house are Cuban, they started to eat the food thinking it was for them. And so I'm like, we need this for the shoot. Right. Like, maybe after the shoot, you guys can eat it. And so they were just eating it. Like, this is the best rao I've ever had in my life. Like, everybody.
And you're like, also, it's a prop. So
yeah, exactly. So please.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Food is a funny thing on set, too, because with continuity, you need to make sure that, like, it can be, with drinks especially, that can be such a...
I know. Continuity is really hard.
Yeah,
you have to, really like, be aware of everything.
Yep. Okay, how about your favorite? I was reading you've attended a lot of like award shows, so like the Imogen Awards and Kids' Choice. Do you have kind of like a favorite award show moment that you can think of, even as simple as just attending?
Definitely it was the first Kids' Choice Award, because that was like my first real big red carpet.
Yeah.
And I remember my publicist at the time, who's actually my best friend, Lydia, was telling me, she's like, it's okay if like not all the cameras go up, because, you know, I wasn't known. I'm still kind of not known, I feel.
More. I mean, you will be after this web series. Let's just say that.
And so it was my first big red carpet, and I was like, oh, okay. But I don't know, something inside my head was like, I'm going to make every camera get up and take my picture. And I did.
Nice.
Every camera went up and took my picture. And so it was really exciting. And there's this funny interview of me. I don't know who I was talking to, but my voice was so high pitched because I was so excited. That, I mean, my boyfriend makes fun of me all the time. He's like, that is the worst interview you've ever done. Because I don't even sound like myself. My adrenaline was so high because I was so excited. But that was the best.
Red carpets are so heightened, though. If you watch anyone go back, it's sort of a little bit of a different version of anyone. Because it's, I mean, what people don't realize is on a red carpet, it's so loud and chaotic. And
especially the Kids' Choice. Because you have kids like on the other side of the carpet. So they're all screaming.
Oh, yeah.
And our show had just aired, too. So they were really excited to meet all of us. And of course, it was just really loud.
Yeah.
But I was so excited.
I'm sure.
Oh.
Well, you'll be back, I'm sure of it.
Yes.
How about the last concert that you went to?
Oh, this was years ago. It was the Jay-Z and Kanye West concert.
Nice.
Yeah. And that was my friend Leanne who convinced me to go because she was like, oh, I have tickets. And I was like, you know, I'm not a big concert goer. Like, it has to be something. I just didn't think it was going to be a great concert. I was wrong. It Amazing. Was one of the best concerts I ever went to. So I still to this day thank her. I'm like, thank you so much for like telling me to come with you.
Very cool.
It was so fun.
How about your favorite boy band?
Oh, NSYNC, hands down.
Hands down?
Hands down.
No Backstreet Boys even?
No, I did have their album, and I supported, like, quietly, because you can't, like, back in the day, you couldn't really support both. So, like, from afar, I was, like, a little fan, but no way.
NSYNC, love it.
Yeah.
How about your favorite vacation spot?
Hawaii.
Nice.
Yeah.
Love it.
It's okay. My dad's favorite place, too, so, like, it just means a lot to, like, our family. Mm-hmm. And so I love it there so much.
Which island?
I like Honolulu, believe it or not, and I love Maui. Maui's my absolute favorite.
And any, like, hidden gems in Hawaii that our fans should know about? Unless you don't want to say because... Well,
like spots?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'll tell you. So there's this place in Maui called Mama's Fish House. I don't know if anybody's ever been there, but it's really good. The food is really good. The location's, like, on the beach. Wow. It's, like, a really cute, like, actual house. And a lot of celebrities actually have been there because I saw a lot of, like, headshots. I think Hilary Duff was there at one point.
Cool.
And super cool. Yeah.
So we're going to Mama's Fish House right after this interview.
Yes, we are. We're getting on a plane and going.
Amazing.
ASAP.
cat person or dog person?
Dog.
Okay. No question.
No question.
I'm also a dog person. Cat people, I just don't get you, to be honest. Finally, your favorite superhero?
Oh, well, I have to say Wonder Woman.
Of course.
You know, it's very fitting for kind of like how I represent myself and how I feel sort of like in the world. So Wonder Woman for sure.
Gal Gadot is...
fierce. I mean...
She's the best.
Oh God,
she's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
It's like that would have been... You got it. Those are huge shoes to fill, being the first franchise female superhero. And I think she's done a really good job.
An amazing job.
Yeah. She's cool. Well, again, of course, guys, we're here talking mostly about Hialeah, which is premiering in a couple weeks.
I know. Is it 2 weeks or a week and a half or something? 2 weeks?
It's a Friday, right? November 11th?
It's a Saturday.
So, yeah, like, I'd say 12 days, right?
Oh, God, my stomach's starting to hurt. No!
Well, you guys will be
so
good.
Getting so close.
The thing, what's nice about a deadline is because it's there, you know it'll get done.
Yeah.
Because you have no choice. That's why you have to set those deadlines just because...
I love deadlines.
And what's hard about production, too, is there's an element of editing where you just have to decide it's done. Do you know what I mean?
Know, that's so hard.
Yeah.
It's hard because you're even once it's done and like, let's say you air it already, you're still going to look at it and be like, oh, we should have fixed that. We should have cut that a little bit. You know, it's terrible.
But you know, like Paul Thomas Anderson and like David Fincher will talk about going to their movies and watching The Social Network and being like, oh, that was a weird day on set. And it's so hard to get out of being on set and being a producer. But I'm sure when the premiere comes and all 1,000 of those people are screaming, you're going to feel pretty good about it.
I hope so. Yeah. I'm like so, like, I'm so excited, but I'm actually like super nervous because this is the first time I actually watch something that, you know, I sort of made.
You're creative. You're not just a cog. You're the plug.
Exactly. Yeah. And so hearing maybe the laughs, I hope, you know, live, I think it's going to be a very like surreal, cool experience to see what the people say.
It's like being on stage in a different way.
Yeah.
It's kind of what it's like.
It's so different.
Yeah.
It's true because I feel like on stage, you're sort of like, I mean, at least when I'm on a stage, you are sort of like not even there. It's like your spirit has like left the body for
a
second.
Well, you're an actress too. So I'm not an actor. So I feel like I can never get outside of myself. But true craftsmen can do that. So like you're in your character. You're not yourself.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so you don't see the audience or anything. So it's almost like you're in this bubble and you feel protected.
Yes.
But this is like, there's nothing I can do.
Yeah.
Like it's there. This is them and that's it.
You're going to bleed on screen. Well, that's what's funny is like, as an actor, you can always be like, you know, I didn't love the way that was directed or like the writing.
Right.
But like when it's yours, it's like,
can't
hope
do
you
anything.
Like it.
Exactly.
Well, I already, just hearing the pitch, I love it. And
oh, good.
You've
I'm
put
glad.
So much authenticity, like you said, into it that I just know it's going to be amazing. So
November
11th on Facebook is
on
where
Facebook.
They should watch it.
Yeah,
amazing.
On the Facebook page.
And for those in Cuba, if they want to sneak into the premiere.
Cuba, they unfortunately can't. But in Hialeah or in Miami, so we're giving away tickets on our Facebook page. We have a very limited amount. But
perfect.
We're going to start giving those away probably next week.
Okay.
So it's funny because we did a little tester of just 50 tickets and they sold out in an hour.
There you go.
So we're going to be giving out some tickets. So hopefully if anybody is in the area.
And that's Hialeah series? Or
yeah, okay, Hialeah great. Series. Yeah.
Find that on Facebook. You can get tickets. You can watch it there. That is The Zone. Of course, your blog and your YouTube, they can search for that on Google. And to find you on Twitter, the best place to reach you would be?
At Melly Kirkache. So all handles are Melly Kirkache.
Melly Kirkache. Yeah. Great. Can I call you Melly?
Yeah, you can.
Awesome.
Everybody
calls
me Mel, Melly, Melissa. Everybody calls me. Yeah.
Perfect. And guys, my name is Jeff Graham. If you want to find me online, you can do so. Jeffrey C. Graham. Of course, this was our Spotlight On series. Today we talked with the wonderful, talented, beautiful Melly Kirkache. And we have a bunch more of these interviews, so you can check them out on our YouTube channel or on our podcast. Again, my name is Jeff Graham. If you want to find me online, you can do so. Jeffrey C. Graham. I host a couple other shows at the network. This Wednesday, I'm running my TV pilot review show. We're actually reviewing Sarah Silverman's new Hulu show, I Love You, America. So if you want to hear my take on that, you can. And on Fridays, I host a table read show where we table read some of Hollywood's hottest unproduced pilots and features. That's on Popcorn Talk. It's called The Unproduced Table Read. Melly, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having
this
me.
This was very, very fun.
So fun.
One more time, November 11th, Hialeah on Facebook. Yep. Do not miss it. Guys, this has been Spotlight On. Thank you very much.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only. They do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.